Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things.
That was more for you than me.
We're talking about the outfit today, as requested by one of our beloved patrons.
Jeanette Murphy. What's up?
What up? that was for the YouTube.
Okay.
I introduced myself as Kit because I will for hereafter be known as Kit Laser, in case you didn't listen to the Crossing Streams or the Mission Impossible Monday episode. I just want to catch you up to speed. Kit Laser here. And luckily, Jeanette chose The Outfit, one of my favorite movies from 2022. I adored it. It was on my top best of the year list last year. Big fan. Wow. Written and directed by one Graham Moore. Well, co-written by Graham Moore, directed by Graham Moore. And this was Graham Moore's directorial debut. I believe they wrote The Imitation Game before this, a couple other movies, but their first directing dalliance, if you will. And it stars Mark Rylance, the epic, the legendary, the incomparable Mark Rylance, a man who transforms, I believe, into his roles. And the amazing Zoe Deutsch. And if you have not seen a movie called Buffaloed with Zoe Deutsch, highly recommend. It's a great little romp. And yeah, it was my second viewing of this movie. It also has, what's his name, Dylan? Little handsome man. What's his name?
Little handsome man. You're going to have to be more specific. There's some handsome
Dylan O'Brien. That's his name. Richie? I was right. Richie.
Did you call him a little handsome man?
Because he's a handsome man.
Okay.
I don't think he's huge.
Oh, okay.
That's just my description. That's all.
Okay.
Nothing behind it.
Who's my little handsome man?
Who's my little Dylan O'Brien? Love and Monsters. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I love Love and Monsters.
That's Dylan O'Brien, my guy.
That's him?
That's Dylan O'Brien.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed.
Yeah, same guy.
He really transformed into the role of Richie this week.
Yeah, we love these old Chicago gangsters, right? You and I are probably going to have a blast being like,
Yeah,
smoking a cigarette, see?
Mugsy. Get your hands up.
Stop it. I don't know. I said it like he was like taking the last cookie. Stop it.
Hey.
You had three. I had two. We agreed we'd split them.
If you don't get your hands off my cookies, I'm going to put my spat so far up your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Spats.
Let's make love, same.
Okay. Love me tender.
Okay.
Love me tender.
I wouldn't. You know I wouldn't do it any other way. So yeah, it's my second viewing. So Steve, now that I've spilled the beans are out of the bag on how much I like this movie. What do you think of this movie, The Outfit?
Let me get this out of the way. I fucking love this movie. I really, really had a good time with this. I've When I first turned this on, I had no idea what this was. And I think it wasn't until after I finished watching it that I remember Chris talking about this on a Cross Extreme episode in the way, way back. But yeah, going into this, I knew next to nothing about it. I saw in the description that Mark Rylance was in it. I'm like, I like Mark Rylance. But as the movie went on and on, you know, it's like, oh, okay, it's some sort of tailor or a cutter. Sorry, I don't want to offend anybody. That was close. My bad.
Any idiot with a needle and thread in 15 minutes can be a tailor. They sell on buttons, Steve.
But yeah, the movie starts. I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's about this tailor, cutter, soldier, spy. And then it becomes like, oh, it's 1950 Chicago. Oh, the mob's here. Oh, it's a completely different movie. But then it never becomes either of the movies I thought it was going to be, because this is actually much more a stage play than a movie.
Yeah.
Like, it uses the tools that that being in the medium of a movie provides, but it's this incredibly intimate movie that never leaves the four walls of his shop the entire time. Like, the only exterior shot in the movie is of his tailor shop. And I love it when movies do this, because it means like, hey, forget all the nonsense going outside. What really matters are the characters inside and what they're saying and doing to each other.
Yeah.
And it's really, really smart. The actors are incredible at it. As the movie keeps progressing, like each movie, like the movie has like several acts, I'd say, like not even three acts, but like maybe chapters is the correct word. But each chapter kind of begins and it ends with Mark Rylance as Leonard just like schooling everybody. And it became this really fun game in my mind, like, oh, shit, a problem occurred. How's Leonard going to school him? And I really was along for the ride. I thought it was very, very smart. I loved all the performances. It was just, I had such a pleasant time with this movie. And it came out of left field for me, because like I said, I didn't know anything about it going in.
Those are the best experiences.
I was so happy. So Jeanette Murphy, thank you for suggesting this. I love this movie so much.
It's my favorite kind of movie, and I say this a lot, but it's like, and I said it on the Birdcage episode, whenever that airs on Patreon. It's similar in a lot of ways that, because that was based on a play, right? And so like movies that are like, they kind of play out like a play, or like chamber pieces where they're one location.
Yeah.
I love it so much because it allows the actors to breathe. All you have is good writing and good acting. Of course there's good cinematography, but for the most part, there's no bombast or anything to like, here's some candy, you know?
Like, yeah. Oh. It's just like, here are your vegetables. They've been sauteed very well.
Yeah, sure.
Enjoy that shit.
Those are my favorite. I love them so much. Like 10 Cloverfield Lane, a movie by Dan Trachtenberg. That's all in a bunker.
12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men is fucking fantastic.
That is an incredible, like, talk about a movie that's like, when did 12 Angry Men come out? It's an older movie.
Yeah. The late 50s. Late I believe. 50s.
That is the perfect example of a movie that takes place in one room. It's in a room, the jury pool, and
57.
These 12 men,
angry men.
These 12 angry men in a jury are literally talking out how they're going to convict this person on trial. And it's riveting, and it's such great writing. And when movies can achieve that, it's almost more impressive to me than, say, like a Michael Bay explosion fest, you know what I mean? Like, even sure, though that in and of itself is super impressive to like do that, but this is just so small stakes.
Green Room is another one from modern times.
Oh, I need to see Green Room. I haven't seen that.
It's fantastic. It's got some extra set pieces to it, but for the most part, it's in one place. Reservoir Dogs, you know, it doesn't happen as much nowadays, which is why I love The Outfit so much, because like Hitchcock did it all the time. He's got like six movies like this. I've never seen Rope, but that's supposed to be one of the best examples of all time.
Is A Train considered that?
I think so.
Yeah.
But if you switch setups a lot, even though it's technically in one place, I don't think it counts.
That's true. Yeah.
Me personally, it's got to be like the same room. Buried. Have you ever seen that?
With Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't love the movie, but the entire thing takes place in a box and it's just him. And it's really impressive. Yeah. You know, Locke, incredible example. Oh, it's all Locke. Just Tom Hardy in a car on the phone. It doesn't happen as much anymore because I think it was like a monetary demand back in the day, because they were doing it so much was on set, on studio, like, you know, they would have to build the stages and stuff.
Yeah. And also it's cheaper if you have the less locations you have in general, it's cheaper to film. Yeah.
But nowadays people are just, they really want the, you know, the big set pieces. And, I think a lot of filmmakers go for that. But man, I do love it. There's a movie called Free Fire by Ben Wheatley that didn't get much love, but it's got like, I think Armie Hammer, but Brie Larson and Chartel Copley, who was in like District 9.
Yeah, I love Chartel Copley.
Those folks all in like a giant gang shootout in one room. It's like a one, it's worth checking out for that reason. I love this shit. This is my favorite type.
What's that called? That sounds awesome.
Called Free Fire.
Free Fire.
Okay. Yeah. It's very, it didn't get a lot of love. It wasn't perfect, but it's, I think it's underrated as the kids would say. So when this came out, I was like, wow, love it.
Love it.
Wowie. And then watching it again last night, I saw some extra details because this type of movie, any good movie, gets better every time you see it because it allows your brain time to soak in the extra details. And if there's something there, if there's there, then you get it, right? Nom, nom, nom. And that was my experience with this movie, knowing the conclusion, not worrying about the surprise and suspense and focusing on the setups and the indications and all that stuff. It was all there. I had a great time with it. I love it more than I ever did. I think it might be one of the best screenplays that we've had in the 2020s easily, but maybe in the last decade or so. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Go Graham Moore and Jonathan McClane.
Go Graham Moore.
His name's John McClane.
Wasn't there a big joke about that? Like in the Oscars, was it last year or the year prior where John McClane could win a writing credit or something? There was some sort of joke about this guy's name.
I don't. It went over my head.
I think we talked about it on this show because Andy was making the joke, I believe, if memory serves me. I can't quite remember what it was. We'll have to get him on here. Be like, Andy, actually, let's call him now.
He's only got 3 writing credits, and I've never heard of any of these things. 4 episodes of Liv and Maddie, The Outfit, and an upcoming movie called called Pirouette, but it's a short film. Nah. See, you're making stuff up. You're being it's a fugazi.
Fugazi.
But yeah, Zoe Deutsch, up and coming in my mind, is like an incredible talent. She's been around a while, but I mean, to me, I've just been soaking up a lot of her work recently, and I'm very impressed. Dylan O'Brien, handsome young man. And Jonathan McClane actually plays
one of the FBI agents.
Yeah, he's the co-writer, but he plays the FBI agent. It's interesting.
I liked the guy, Johnny Flynn, the dude who plays Francis. I thought
he was great.
He was a good presence. I think this is the first time I've seen him in a movie before. So I'm going to look out for that guy in the future.
Johnny Flynn, you got Moxie, and my eyes on you. But I only got one of them. He was in the movie Emma. Clouds of Sils Maria. Little known fact, I'm a big fan of Kristen Stewart. She's in that movie.
You?
She's in that movie. Mm. Me, Kit Laser. Love it. By the way, if anything happens one day, it could be Kit and K Stu. Just saying.
KK.
Kristen Laser.
Let's manifest that for you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There's a little bit of Bernie Sanders creeping into my gangster accent from Chicago.
Chicago.
From the 50s.
The Bears. The Bulls.
Were the Bears around yet in the 50s?
Probably not.
We don't know.
No, they didn't play sports back then.
All they did was shoot Tommy guns and drink bourbon. Bourbon.
What a time to have lived back then. The mob ran a neighborhood.
I want to ask you this.
Ask me this.
We're just talking in general about the movie. Because I'll be honest, guys, I don't have any notes for this. My daughter's been very ill. I'm always honest with our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've had a rough week with her.
It's been a fucking hell of a week. I'm missing her greatly right now. What did you think of the end? Because a lot of people think this is a great movie, but there was like two too many twists at the end. I've seen that criticism a lot. What do you think? Did you get a little like when by the time like Richie pops back up and you know stuff like that? Were you like, okay, or were you like, oh, I'm in, I'm fucking in? I'm,
you know, Steve. I think that's a valid criticism. I didn't necessarily mind it the very, very end, specifically when Richie pops up. Or not Richie, I'm sorry.
I said Richie. I said you for failure. Francis.
Francis, when Francis pops up again.
Richie's dead.
But there's a part where like Francis gets the best of Leonard and it seems he's got him. And Leonard goes on another like, you know, when I was at the row, I had me shears.
Well, that's when you get the actual backstory for the third time, but the real truth that he was a gangster.
Yeah, he was a gangster. He reveals his tattoos, and it's like a really cool moment. But there was a part of me that was like,
and the whole thing's on fire and shit, and you're like,
Yeah. There was a part of me that was like, okay, I feel like I could have been okay with. I would have liked the movie just as much, even if it had ended the scene prior. Mm-hmm. But I really did like the kind of the closing dialogue where it's like, you know, you could work on something your whole life, but you gotta pack it up and it's not perfect, but you gotta do it again.
Yeah, his plan, you know, the way that it's a metaphor for the plan and it's a closing, it's a bookend for the narrative device that how the movie opens, which is him
narrating
about cutting. Yeah. Tailoring, making a suit, which we also find out is like a diegetic narration because that's what he put on the fake FBI tape, you know,
that they can't actually,
that everybody's arguing over.
Yeah.
And I think it's genius. I really do. I think it's so tight.
No, I really like it too. And as somebody, so that whole idea of, hey, you can work on this thing you're passionate about for forever. You can always be trying to make it perfect, but at a certain point you have to put down your shears and move on to the next thing or else you never finish it. Like, don't let perfection get in the way of productivity.
Sometimes, you know? Steve, sometimes you just have to stab the guy in the throat, set everything on fire and leave.
See, he has, you know, he stabs the guy in the throat. When I was in college and people were having trouble.
Go on.
And when I was in college and people had trouble kind of ending their projects, they were always trying to make their projects perfect and they were killing themselves doing it. People knew me as the guy I would tell people, I have a fuck it button where I get to a point in all of my projects, no matter how unperfect it is, I will say, fuck it. I'm done. It'll never be better than this. I'm tired of working on it.
Yeah.
And there's a classmate I had that was like, I wish I had that. Like, I'm literally killing myself. I'm staying up for hours and hours and hours to make this perfect. And I'm like, yeah, it is one project in an editing class. Fuck it.
That's what our philosophy is on streaming things.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Voila. I'm bald.
Love. Let people fuck and fuck it. Let me see that peen. That's another one I'm introducing. This week, of all the movies I've seen this week, that's been something I've yelled a lot.
Kit Laser approves. That's right, baby.
What do you want to do? A quick and dirty run through?
I do.
Okay, Chicago, 1956. A man enters the outfit building Bespoke. Yeah, and he talked
about Bespoke.
Yeah, you talk about it's Leonard, played by Mark Rylance.
You look at me when you're bespeaking to me.
Yes, sir. I don't mean to be dropping no offense.
No Eve, sir. No Eve. Honest.
So Mark Rylance is as Leonard. He's kind of giving his whole spiel. A suit consists of two parts, a jacket and trousers. But those are composed by four different fabrics, cotton, silk, mohair, and wool. Those are cut into 38. And he goes on and on and on and on. He's really kind of saying, like, the act of making a suit is
no
a big detail.
No less than 227 steps.
Yeah. And in doing so, you may think you have to make a suit for the client, but really you just have to measure a man that way. How does he stand? Does he want to be noticed? Does he want to blend in? You got to measure the man to cut the suit for him.
Is he looking a peacock or is he looking to blend in with grays and browns?
What kind of man are you, Chris? Are you a peacock or are you a blender?
I do prefer neutral colors, but I also feel like I am one who likes attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to answer that. I'm really bad with fashion. As you saw at the Spider-Man premiere.
I thought you were crushing it.
It's a t-shirt.
I like to peacock when I'm in a suit.
You do. You
it's got to be a
floral
design
suit.
Yeah. I don't want to just do like black suit and tie. No, I need a jacket that says, look at me. I'm here.
Uh-huh.
Look at me.
Hey,
look at me.
You look at me.
Look at me when I'm bespoken to you.
I'm the captain now.
But Leonard, he's making a suit. He walks into a store. He asks his what do you call her?
Secretary
Mabel, played by his
woman.
She's there, but as he's making the suit, these two men, they're kind of shady. They're wearing fedoras. There's some sort of mail drop box in the corner of his room. They just waltz on in.
M-A-I-L.
Like the place. Yeah. M-A-I-L. It would be a very different movie if it was a different thing. They walk in. They go into the box. They seem to be like talking about business. Ooh, there's this weird little symbol on one of the envelopes, and it's got them all in the tizzy.
They're in a tizzy.
Yeah, they're in a tizzy. Like, ooh, what's this? What's this now? Hey, here. Look at this. See? Is that from the outfit? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You think the outfit was created by a man who makes outfits? I don't know.
So I think the outfit is real, but he fabricated the messages from them, mm-hmm. right?
I don't know. I got the feeling that
Or he invented the whole thing.
He invented the concept of the outfit, told them what it was through the letters, and they just believed him and went with it.
Oh, that sounds cool. I want to be in it.
Oh, you mean a network of mobsters working together across the globe? Because that tracks for what mobsters do?
Yeah. I'm in.
I'm in.
I'm special.
Forget about it.
We just got to kill the LaFontaines.
Forget about it.
It's being forgotten. It's Chicago, not New York.
That's true.
I respect it.
But yeah, they want Leonard to leave so that they can look what's in this envelope. Leonard goes up front. He has this little dialogue with his secretary, Mabel. What's in the mail? Anything? But she's got a snow globe, a new snow globe. She likes to collect those. This one is from London.
London. Big Ben. It's just a clock.
I love the, like, I want to go see Big Ben. It's just a clock.
he's trying to keep her safe.
He has no time for this clock.
Literally.
But yeah, he tells her, like, all he has is his shears and you, but he knows it's not going to be forever. Because they have a very...
Because they rust. Oh, you mean his relationship?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
I took that wrong.
With Mabel. But yeah, they have, like, a paternal relationship with her. Like,
did she just Porky Pig it?
I did. Maybe paternal.
Yeah, it's like his daughter. It's almost as if he used to have a daughter that he doesn't have anymore. Because he does.
And she kind of says, hey, are you offended that those guys made you come up here in your own shop where they read the mail? He's like, no, I don't really care. Speak of the devils, they're here. And Richie, who's the younger of the two, it's Richie and Francis. Yeah, Richie's like, what do you mean by that? Hey, guy, my guy, you compare me to the devil?
You think I'm himself? Satan?
You think I'm Beelzebub?
No. Asmodeus? No.
I go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
All right? I may put guys in the dirt, but I ain't the devil. Okay?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something. You made me pull your eyes off.
I was listening while you were bespeaking.
Oh, that's true. You look at me when I'm bespeaking. So this cuts to them. They're folding handkerchiefs. They're kind of talking about her goals and what she wants to do. And she's like, hey, you know, you're not my dad. You're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. That type of thing.
And he's like, she's like, I'm sorry about that. And she's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. He tries to hook her up with the apprentice of the horologist up the street. It's a nice young boy at the horologist place.
While she's folding, I love the detail that he's so meticulous and passionate about everything that he does. If you notice that she's young, she's in a hurry to live her life and get in trouble, make bad decisions, as we all are at that age. And she's haphazardly folding these pieces of cloth. Mm-hmm. And he's got these perfect squares stacked perfectly, and hers is all over the place. And he, like, looks at it as she walks out. And you know he's going to redo everything she just did. There was no point in her doing it. No. Yeah. It's bothering the shit out of him. I just love that little touch.
If you want a raise, you got to learn how to fold a bloody square. but he goes to bed. He hears a crackling fire in the background during his nightly routine.
Does he go to bed or does he pass the fuck out?
He's drinking.
on his workbench.
He's getting that drink.
He goes to bed the way Andy goes to bed.
With some Fireball cinnamon whiskey.
That's right.
but while he's kind of sitting there, he hears Mabel and, wouldn't you know it, Richie come in.
Wouldn't you know it? Uh-oh.
Oh. Leonard definitely doesn't like that. You can tell he's not a huge fan of Master Richie.
No. But yeah, Richie's no good.
Richie's kind of peacocking. He cares about what he does. He has no sense of humor because at one point she's like, oh, you're very sweet. And he's like, well, you saying I'm sweet? Huh? What do you mean by that? You think I can't get it up? Huh? What do you say about that?
What do you mean about the size of my ween?
That's the energy he gives
off. He's jealous of Francis and his ability, you know, because he's just a nepo baby of the mob.
Yeah.
And he's very aware of that and unhappy about it. Because she says something like, he's so good at what he does, just like you, baby.
What do you mean by that?
Whoa, you making fun of me? Don't fucking make fun of me.
Mm-hmm. Because Francis, they mentioned, like, he has taken 6 marbles for his pops, which means he took 6 bullets.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah, because at one point when Richie gets shot,
I thought they played marbles a lot, and he had won 6 of them. Because, you know, you get to keep them sometimes in victory.
I really wish that was. Dude, he whipped my pop's ass in marbles. He's got 6 of them shits.
Those are expensive.
I can never beat my dad. He's so good at marbles. He's so wicked good. but they also mentioned that Francis thinks that their organization has a rat. And we all know that they're not talking about a pet rat. They're not talking about scabbers.
This is like the rat from The Departed.
Who was that? Matt Damon?
Well, don't spoil it. even though it's the premise.
But who are you?
And he's talking about a rat a lot in that movie. And then everybody hates the ending where Scorsese showed a rat. going across the floor. I think it's funny. Yes. I love that movie.
I saw a tweet the other day that was like, it was like, it was a script and it was Martin Scorsese. Like, I just want to announce that I'm dying. I can't make any more movies any longer because of my illness. I appreciate everyone following my career. The love you have shown me all these many years is so great. And I really appreciate being on this life journeys with you. And then the reporter asks him, so what do you think of Wakanda 2?
Because they're always digging him about Marvel.
Yeah. Poor Martin Scorsese.
They just want to pull a quote.
But Leonard's least listening in on them. He's peeping. He makes a little noise. They kind of go to check on him. But
he drops
kinda,
like a tack.
Yeah, he's playing dead, though. And they're like, huh, oh, man, he drank himself with that Fireball cinnamon whiskey.
It's so cute that he's an alcoholic.
Adorable. Ruffle that hair. Step two is drawing. It's enjoyable. It's about exploring. Heed your patterns. They're there for a reason. It's not art. It's craft.
And that's actually another like thing I noticed on the second watch. I think they're talking about screenwriting and they're talking about tropes. And because this is a very tried, you're talking about Chicago gangsters from the 50s. You're talking about a chamber piece movie about finding the rat and the idea of even the idea of a tailor being a spy. All of this is tread ground, previously tread ground, right? And that's what he's saying. Heed your patents. They're not the enemy. Like, this is stuff that works. And this is why the movie is, it's fuck, I'm telling you, man. Mm-hmm. It's genius.
It's really good. Really good. There seems to be a cassette drop in the mailbox. But then eventually this leads to someone's at the door. Leonard goes to answer it. And
have you heard about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Hello. How does that sound? My name is Father Tom. The Book of Mormon.
I never saw the Book of Mormon.
Oh, that opening bit's so funny.
I'm hyped for
it's
it.
So good. I would like to tell you about the most amazing book.
I wanted to see it on Broadway and it was like $500 a ticket if you could get a ticket when I was in New York. And so I didn't see it then. And then I know it came to the Aronoff and stuff, but I never went.
I got to see it on Broadway when I was in New York.
Wow, really?
Year. Yeah.
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was like 2015.
Mm-hmm. When it was like new and big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With amazing. Josh Gad, probably.
Probably. I didn't even know he was in it.
Oh, he was the original like... I forget the character's name, but he was the original one.
Aloysius.
Like, hi, I'm Josh Gad being Josh Gad.
Yeah.
That character. But there's someone at the door. Richie's been shot. Francis is helping him in. They're like, get inside.
He took a marble.
We get to see. I wrote this in my notes because I thought it was funny at first, but it's actually a very important thing where he carefully takes off Richie's coat and seems to take more care for the coat than Richie, who's been shot. And at first when I wrote the note down, I'm like, oh, that's really funny. He like cares more about the fashion than the human being. That's kind of funny. But no, he's actually doing it for a very specific purpose later on. We come to find out. But Richie, there's this kind of dynamic between Francis and Richie, as you mentioned before, they're kind of rivals. Richie froze. That's why he got shot. The LaFontaines jumped them both. And this makes Francis even more, you know, sure. Like, we definitely have a rat in the organization. This is where he says that Richie has a marble in his belly. And they want Leonard to sew him up. He's got shears. He's got thread. You could sew him up. I was a doctor in the war. You at your age? And the other one.
The World War One.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thought that was fun. So he sews him up. Richie passes out from all the blood loss. And then Francis is looking at the cassette tape and Francis is kind of thinking like, I got to get out of here. I need to know what's on this tape because there's a rat. Maybe it's because they haven't listened to it yet. But if they can find something that they allows them to listen to it, maybe they can figure out who did that. So Francis leaves to go find some sort of cassette player to listen to it. But he leaves the tape with Leonard and he says, like it or not, Leonard, you're now part of the family. Because the whole time Leonard's like, can you guys just go? I wanted to drink my Fireball cinnamon whiskey. I was going to make a whole night of it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm super hungover. I need a hair of the dog. I got a fat doobie.
I got a fat doobie.
It took me 6 hours to roll up because I'm so meticulous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I cut the paper myself. It takes forever. All right, I'll stay. All right, I get it. I'm just saying.
But so the tape is supposed to be the recording of...
their dealings.
One of the Hoover boys planted a bug in one of our spots, and if we listen to this cassette tape, we can figure out where that is.
Why do the vacuum cleaner owners care in their mind, do you think?
Well, because they just don't like what Roy's doing to the neighborhood, you know? He's like, all about, like, hey, Roombas are the way of the future, and they're going to bite that shit in the bud.
That was a Hoover joke, see?
Ah.
No, and their idea is that they'll know who is behind the bug if they know the room that the sound is coming from, right? Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices. The path forward is not always clear. Like, you never know. Sometimes I used to sell cars for a living, and I hated that job. But I made good money. I was able to buy a house. I was gone from my family all the time. I would podcast whenever I could. I didn't get to see many movies. I worked every Thursday night. It was terrible. But I was like, I got to do this. I got stuck in the middle class grind where I was like, hey, this is what's right for my family. Me to be miserable. We feel like we're stuck. We don't know what to do. So whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, sometimes in a relationship, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything else. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. And like I said, I had to have a lot of practice, and it was talking through that stuff with someone else that helped me. And that's why you could find a therapist using BetterHelp that meshes with your values and the way that you see life in that perspective, and they can talk you through in a way that you find valuable and that you understand. So you can do it entirely online, get matched with a therapist like this that you enjoy, that you find value in. And if you find that it's not working, you can switch at any time. It's extremely easy to switch it. So just think about that. Think about how close you are to finding a therapist to better your entire life. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So Francis goes off. Leonard begins kind of repairing. Was it his jacket sleeve that he like kind of ripped out? And he's like, it was the jacket he was working on. I think it's the jacket he leaves the movie with.
But he's actually sewing the tape into it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But you think he's like repairing it, and it's fucking genius. Yeah, it's so good. But Richie wakes up. Hey, English, I want to talk to you. Because they call him English.
Yeah, because he's from England. Yeah,
Toronto.
What if he was just Canadian? Sorry.
And he kind of shares a story like, hey, Richie, your dad was one of the first people I met when I came to America. I like how there's kind of this like, hey, he's got good taste. That there's a little bit of jovialness you feel or you think there is between Leonard and Richie's dad.
Fun to talk to.
That was his first customer. And he kind of tells this really funny story about like, I'm not a tailor, I'm a cutter. And like you said, anybody can be a tailor. I learned on Savile Row, and which is like a really big cultural. Yeah, it's the Row. It's a big cultural arts place in London. And you know, he's like, what happened to your place? Did the Krauts bomb it? No, worse. Blue jeans.
That's a running joke, you know, like the fashion of the time. Dean Martin. I've always wanted to be the kind of guy that wears suits all the time. When I was a kid, I idolized wearing suits. But we were poor. I never saw my dad in a suit once, you know. So it was just like, I would watch these movies. Like, I just want to wear a suit every day. Mm-hmm. I would if I could. And my dad was like, I used to have a job where I had to wear a suit every day. Trust me. It's not cool.
It sucks.
And I'm like, I want to wear. And I still, to this day, I really enjoy wearing suits. I just rarely have an occasion. I only bought one for the Spider-Man premiere And, you know, it's like a $200 suit, right? So it's just like, but I would like a nice tailored suit. I would. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Even Leonard also kind of goes down this route where he tells, like, I have something to tell you, Richie. I'm the rat. I let the FBI plant their bugs here.
It's a weird scene.
And Richie just laughs at him like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, because he knew that would happen.
Yeah. But in the moment, were you like, oh, we just.
Oh, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, shit.
He's 100%.
Yeah.
Because
the way he sets it up is like laying it on too thick to be a joke. You know, I didn't want anybody to get hurt. You know, all that whole stuff. And he's a heck of a thing to joke about. You know, it's left us the best medicine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, Blue Jeans kind of forced him out of his store in the row. He said he came to Chicago's that so it's not a place weighed down by bitter history. But also he loves Red Hots. They are delicious. Is that the candy? Like the little red fiery candy?
I thought they were the hot dogs, but it could be like the actual candy now.
I think it could be hot dogs.
Yeah.
Because would they have that candy like back then?
Probably. They had a lot of candy.
That's true.
Taffy.
Like gross ass
candy. Go to the store for a nickel, you can get a whole bag.
Oh my God.
Add a bunch of weed for a nickel.
Leonard kind of makes the pointed issue like, oh, I hope your cousin's all right. Francis ain't my cousin. He's a son of a bitch.
Says that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't think Francis could be the rat?
He's family.
No way.
Oh, no.
He seems cool.
And just then.
You could probably trust him with your girlfriend.
Absolutely. But speak of that devil, Francis is back. But Richie doesn't trust him now because of what these little seeds that Leonard's kind of planted.
Well, Leonard goes out and preps him to be suspicious. It's like, oh, he's in there talking crazy. He said, you have a tiny wiener. I don't even know. That's none of my business, sir.
I just wanted you guys to leave. We started talking about Red Hots, and he's like, you know what's smaller than a Red Hot? Francis. I thought, oh, delicious.
It's weird. I don't know. Anyway, he's in there.
But yeah, Francis kind of comes in, and he's like, hey, your dad is like a dad to me, but Rich kind of like makes fun of him. Oh, your dad? Your real dad? He's a loser. He died poor. He's one of them poors, right? Didn't accomplish anything.
Ooh.
Why don't you want my pops to listen to that tape, Francis? There's like this big, what do you think about this? Like knowing how the movie ends, where neither of them have a reason to hide this tape from Francis's dad. What do you think about this whole scenario?
I thought it was weird of Francis not to be like, okay, let's wait for your dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's all ego. Unless you believe that he believes that his dad is literally in danger every second that they don't know who's listening to the tape. And so he really does for the mob boss's safety demand that they go as soon as possible to listen to this tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only excuse that, because it was frustrating to watch. It is each time because it's like, you know why Richie is kind of super insecure, dumb, nepo baby, kind of just stuck on this idea that Richie is Francis is the rat. But why Francis doesn't just back down, like you're the boss's son. If he will be here as soon as you say, then fuck it. You know, you just got shot anyway. I'm supposed to take care of you. It's like my whole job is to take care of you.
Yep.
It's weird that it works on him so well.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Leonard prepped him. And so he's offended that Richie thinks he's the rat.
Yeah.
He's taken six marbles.
Leonard's just
boss.
Gaslighting mob dudes this whole fucking movie. Yeah. It's just kind of a G
All
move.
And he even gets LaFontaine at the end.
Yeah.
It's really small, but he's like, she's going to get arrested. So,
But yeah, they open up the briefcase and the tape is gone. It's missing. So immediately Richie draws his gun on Francis.
Calm heads, Master Richie. Calm heads prevail.
They have a little standoff, which eventually... I love this little bit where Leonard purposely kind of like makes a little noise so that Richie looks at him and then Francis can draw his gun and shoot him real quick.
Yeah.
Like he's such a G. Leonard.
It's all planned.
He's got this all planned down to a T. I love it. And so like knowing how it ends and kind of like revisiting the whole thing, it's like, wow, it's so good. I love this. Yeah, Francis kind of, you know, digs a knife in a little bit on Rich. He's like, you're not going to die because you're dumb, arrogant, or slow. You die because you're weak. Shoots him in the face.
In the face.
Oh, my gosh.
Why'd you make me do that, Richie?
What'd you make me do? What'd I do?
What'd I do?
They stuff Richie in a trunk. And now Roy's coming. The boss, Richie's dad.
The big boss.
And I love this idea.
That's the big man's caddy.
Because now... Francis is like, oh shit, now I have to lie to my boss because no matter what happens, even though Richie caused this,
right? And Leonard manipulates him more by being like, well, just explain the situation. I'm sure he'll understand.
I didn't cut his shorts. I killed his son.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Francis thinks he has to hide the body, lie to his boss, because no matter what happens, he thinks Roy will kill him regardless because he technically shot his kid. So they stuff Richie in a trunk. What's Roy's buddy's name? Monk.
The big guy with the shotgun. Yeah. Monk. I love the moment where the tension in the room is high and Roy steps out to answer the phone or something or call somebody on the phone. And it's just him. Monk looks at Francis and he's just like, what's up? Because they are friends. They're like, they're acquaintances, you know, but in this moment, he's got to be awkward and stern, but he's like, hey,
what's up, buddy?
He begrudgingly lights his cigarette too. Like, this is kind of awkward, man. Here you go.
Yeah. Cause Francis tells Roy like, oh, Richie went looking for you. I thought he was with you.
Yeah.
I can't tell Richie what to do. You know how he is. He went looking for you. I think he went to your house. So yeah, Roy steps out to call their house and, hey, is Richie there? He's not. Oh, damn. So Roy comes back out and he's like, hey, dude, I need you to get out of here. Francis, I need you to go find my boy. I'm going to hang out here. I'm going to hang out with my boy Leonard. You go find Richie. But you know who I want to shout out real quick?
Who? Who could you possibly?
The lights in the dark that give us a pathfinding trek.
Duke Energy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Fuck Duke Energy. What's the opposite of a plug? No, I want to give a shout out to our patrons for the month of June.
Yeah, see?
Thank you to everybody who goes on the patreon.com/streamingthings and supports us at any tier whatsoever. But one of the tiers you can sign up for is a tier where we shout out your name.
Shout it.
The show.
These are the things
I can do without.
Come on.
I'm talking to you. Come on. Chester Copperpot, I'm talking to you. Stan Valentino's Fento 7 Pills, baby. Jay Scramo, a.k.a. Ashley Ray. Alan Tomlinson, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Alexis Adler, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Aaron Layton, John Collins, Amanda King, Sunloving Mortal, Andrew Gray, Jajinklich, Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reese, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, who suggested this episode, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you guys so much. We love you so much. This begins the next set of narration by Leonard.
Leonard. English.
If a customer says, I want you to cut the sleeves, I tell them the problems in the shoulders, and they say, no, cut the sleeves. So what do? I cut the shoulders. And they say, oh, that's exactly what I wanted to have.
I love that story. I actually love every story Leonard tells. I really do.
That story in particular is 100% true. Like, if you've ever done anything with customer service and you could trick people like that, it works every fucking time.
Yeah. Oh, I was right about that. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you sure were.
I put it back in. It's hotter now.
Yeah. I would do that at the movie theater all the time. Like, if someone was like, this popcorn's stale. I want the fresh stuff, fully well knowing that the popcorn that they're holding is the same exact popcorn behind me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, let me get you a new one. Here you go. I'm like, tastes so much better. Does it? Okay, bye. It's the same fucking load.
Ooh, load.
Let's see. Roy tries to reach out and grab Leonard's shears, but he's a little protective of him. He's like, don't touch those.
Sorry.
I came over the pond with only those.
Did I tell you my blue jeans joke? It usually tears the house down.
Oh, it kills every time. And it does again. It works again.
But Roy kind of goes on with this whole like thing with shears. He pulls out his gun like, see, this is my tool. People think this is to destroy. But with this gun, I build loyalty, a crew, a neighborhood. Sometimes you got to toss scraps away, even for you and your line of work, don't you? Talking about killing people.
Metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me up to speed there, Steve. He's talking about killing.
He's talking about killing.
Sheesh.
But this is the point where Roy's like, hey, it's been a long night. You're proving yourself loyal to me. You tried to save my son. I'm going to let you in a little secret. Have you ever heard about the outfit?
What?
Yeah, it's a secret organization. Al Capone himself started it. And after he died, it became a national underground United Nations of the mob. The underground United Nations. And the only way they can join the outfit is they got to put the La Fontaines in the Deut.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to be so in the doit, they're going to see that underground United Nations. You know what I mean?
Yes. They're going to be in China.
So this tape that everyone's looking for was actually acquired by the outfit, supposedly. So the FBI has bugged them. They have this tape as evidence, but the outfit got this tape so they can figure out who their rat is, so that they can finally put the LaFontaines down.
In the dice.
But at this moment, as Roy's telling him this, like, hey, that's Richie's coat, my man. Where is Richie?
Why are you telling me all this?
Yeah.
Because that's Richie's coat.
Mm-hmm. So he sees the coat that Leonard had taken so much care about in the beginning of the movie. And he's like, hey, it's the middle of December in Chicago. No one's going outside without their coat.
That's true. I've been in Chicago in February. Terrible.
Dude, I've been to Chicago in April. Terrible.
Yeah. It is the Windy City.
Yeah, that Lake Michigan breeze. Oh, my God. Freeze your nips.
Yeah. Cutting glass.
I love Roy looks at Monk's like, hey, what kind of person goes outside in the middle of December in Chicago? And Monk's like, I ain't good at riddles.
I love that. And later he answers a question and he's like, I thought you weren't good at riddles.
I love a good mob sidekick. But he kind of, Monk points the gun at Leonard like, hey, you're going to tell me all about what happened to Richie. And he's like, well, Francis made me promise not to tell. Francis shot. And at that moment,
Francis walks in with Mabel.
It's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Mabel.
But yeah, Francis is holding her at gunpoint. Roy is like, okay, what's going on here? Who did Francis shoot? What's going on?
You can tell me. Not a man on earth can touch you.
Mm-hmm. You can tell me.
Your cheeks will not be clapped whilst I'm alive.
Yeah, so Leonard kind of makes up the story on the spot. Because you get the impression, and maybe this wasn't ever going to happen, but you get the impression that Leonard was going to tell him, oh, Francis killed your son.
Yeah, and he kind of had to think on the fly here because Mabel was in trouble.
Yeah, so now Mabel's in trouble. Francis is there, and Francis given that, like, you fucking tell him I'll shoot this girl right now. And so he says, he makes up the story that Francis shot four of LaFontaine's men. Richie didn't get a single one, and he was embarrassed about it. So he felt like he had to go, you know, get this tape back because he was embarrassed. And Richie made us promise not to tell you about it because he's so embarrassed about getting a marble in him and not getting any retribution. But Mabel, she's Richie's girl. Everyone knows that. Richie likes to brag, says Monk. And Richie seems the type. He does seem to brag.
Yeah. And they're like, maybe he did go out without his coat because Mabel's house is right down the street. Maybe he just went to Mabel's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, and Francis kind of, I don't know if he's lying about this, but he's like, yeah, there's a blood stain on her carpet. Her dad was Ryan Sean. Oh, you're Ryan Sean's girl. I totally killed him. I mean, knew him. I knew him.
Shit happens.
Shit happens in this neighborhood. An awful shame what happened to him. And I love that line. She says something like, a weird thing about this neighborhood. A lot of people are sorry, but they never seem to know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a mob neighborhood. Francis suggests that Mabel is the rat. How dare they? So Roy's like, hey, let's get the lady talking. We're gonna take her to the back and we're going to torture her, basically.
Right. We'll clean up.
Leonard, sorry about this. I know this sucks. We'll clean up afterwards. Don't you worry. How nice of him.
Yeah.
That's like the nicest a mob boss is ever going to get to, I think. Like, mm-hmm. We'll clean up. Don't you worry. We got some 409, right?
Giddy up. That's what I always say.
But at this point, Leonard hears the flames again, the crackling flames. We don't know what that's about. The blood is dripping from the hutch that Richie stuffed into, or the trunk or whatever he stuffed into. And then Leonard kind of whips out this thing like, I understand how you feel. I had a daughter. There was a fire in my shop and my wife and girl were upstairs. The shears were a gift from my wife. If you kill any one of us, you won't find your child.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to appeal, emotional appeal.
Mm-hmm. And the phone rings because he's kind of walked himself towards the front of the room. The phone rings. He answers the phone. And I love how he does this. Like, oh, that's great news. Oh, Richie's home. How wonderful. We were looking for him.
We were so worried.
Great news. I just got off the phone with your house. Richie says to meet him on the 31st in Halstead. Let's go, everyone. And Francis is like super suspicious because he knows
Richie's in the trunk.
Richie's in the trunk.
Who the fuck was on the phone? What's your plan here, guy?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I talked to your boys.
Because Richie's plan was to frame Mabel, and now so not
Francis's
only
plan.
Francis's plan was to frame Mabel. Mm-hmm. And so Francis is like, but he can't directly say liar or he would out himself. And so it's a very tense, awesome situation.
Yeah. So good. So they're about to leave to go to this place that Richie, quote unquote, told them to meet. And Francis is like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay behind. I'm going to make sure these two don't, I don't know, go squealing to the coppers.
Whatever. Because it's been a crazy night.
It has been. And this is the point where, you know, Francis is kind of like, yo, what's your game, man? What is your game? And he's like, oh, isn't it obvious? Mabel is the rat. So Francis, Leonard knows Mabel is actually the rat. And Mabel's like, what the fuck? How do you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you've been selling information to La Fontaine so you can finally get out of Chicago. And she's been communicating with the La Fontaines via these like snow globes. And eventually she started helping out she helped the FBI plant the bugs in their store. And this is, she's wrapped up in this whole big conspiracy. Talk a little bit about that.
Like just to explain what's going on.
Yeah. Cause I'm not 100%
because she was dating Richie and he is a braggadocio. Mm-hmm. And so that's where she got the idea because she's a girl who just wants to get out of this town. Right. Hence her obsession with the snow globes. And so she, while talking to Richie's dumbass, realized she was getting enough information to sell it to the La Fontaines. In order to cover her ass with selling stuff to the La Fontaines, she decided to involve the FBI so that she didn't get caught and killed for doing that. So she could just put them all in jail was her new plan. And Leonard was aware of all of this because not a thing goes on in that shop he doesn't know about. He's trying to protect her. And so before it all goes bottom up, he started helping out like 3 months ago. So he created the outfit thing. And this is all his plan coming to fruition to free Mabel and get her some money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the road.
She says, hey, you got your hustle. I got mine. And eventually, Francis is like, oh, so you did steal the tape. And Leonard's like, nope, that was me. I put it in my jacket pocket.
Yeah. And he takes the stitches out and shows him the tape.
Mabel's kind of shocked that she's helping or he's helping her.
So you're helping me the whole time. Fuck you.
I didn't need you.
I could take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have died.
So now they have a new plan. So now they have a new plan. Mabel's going to tell the La Fontaines where to ambush Roy and the rest of the Boyle crew. Is that their last name? Boyle?
I think so, yeah.
And then they can come and they can sell the tape. And this way, Francis can he's kind of on board with this plan because, you know, now he doesn't have to hide from Roy. And he can, step up and become the leader of this crew.
He can run
the
Boyle crew.
He can run the Boyle crew.
I'll teach you how to use more scissors if you want to.
And it's this great, again, Leonard is such a gaslighting son of a bitch. And he's using gaslighting for good.
Superhero.
Where Francis is like, I took 6 bullets for that man. And Leonard's like, oh yeah? How many bullets has he taken for you?
But that's just facts.
Yeah. Well, today's the day you don't need him anymore. Oh man. Option A, they come back and kill us all. Or option B, you turn on your boss. And he elects for option B. She calls the Fontaines. They're going to swap tape, the outfit tape for cash because the La Fontaines probably, they think in their mind, they would want that tape so that maybe they could be in the outfit. Or are they just like, fuck the outfit? Or
they don't think they can be in the outfit. They want the tape because they're incriminated on it as well.
Yes, that's right. Yes, thank you. So they're going to set up this deal. Francis wants to kill the leader of La Fontaine. Is her name just La Fontaine?
Yeah, that's her name.
Yeah, her name is just La Fontaine. Mm-hmm. So he wants to kill her, and they're like, hey, we're going to do a signal. You give the signal, Francis is going to pop out and kill La Fontaine. And as he goes and hides, Mabel's like, he's going to kill us too. Like, as soon as he jumps, we give the signal.
And Leonard already knew that. He's like, no shit, love.
No shit. So
love killed 96 men and 6 women, but they were mean ones.
they had it coming. What was the signal? Like, the count's good. Like, one of them would say, it's all here, basically. Like, money's all here. But La Fontaine arrives. Which one of you has...
which one of you has my tape?
But they want to see the money first. But before Mabel can actually say, looks all good here, Leonard steps up and is like, hey, there's a little sneaky bitch in the corner. He's going to hop out and shoot you.
Hold up. Where's the money? And he's like pointing at the corner and making a gun sign with his hand. Pew, 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 pew. And he's like doing a barrel roll and he starts like doing charades and he makes like a shadow puppet with a bird. It's bizarre.
It's very impressive. There's several costume changes. It's great.
Well, he's a tailor. Yeah. Well, a cutter.
Yeah. A cutter. Yeah. Don't offend him. But Francis hops out and he's got all the guns drawn on him already. He knows he's fucked, but he's still trying to sort of
Let's make a deal.
See,
I'll take the money. you guys all suck my dick. And then he's a terrible negotiator.
Yeah, you know? The deal that he suggests is like, hey, I understand you don't have a lot to work with and you're trying to get out of it somehow. Right. But yeah, he's like, okay, I got a deal. You give me all that money and I just get to leave with my life.
Easy.
Thanks.
Good deal.
What you get in return is you don't get to have a death on your conscience today.
Yeah. Well, he could theoretically kill the La Fontaine leader.
Oh, that's true.
Their plan sucked.
If he dies, he can still at least maybe get a shot on her and kill her. But La Fontaine has this great thing where, like, you people didn't care about anything we did in this town until we started making real money. And now that we're actually making real money, all you come in here with your slick back hair, you act like spoiled children who'd rather break their own toys rather than someone else play with them.
Yeah.
And it should be said, I don't know if we mentioned, but everyone in the La Fontaine crew are black. And so you've got this super, what do you call that? Italian. They're Italian, right?
They're Irish.
It's an Irish mob. And there's like an African-American group here and they're clashing. And
I guess they're from, I don't know, like Haiti or something, because they're, would that explain the French?
Oh yeah, that would. Yeah. Yeah, that would. Yeah, I like that. But I do like that little bit, like, hey, you sons of bitches. Because, I mean, that is true. What you say, it says is true. I mean, there's like a lot of evidence, like when, shit, why am I blanking on the word? Desegregation. When desegregation happened in the South, there were like community pools that were like, you know, only white people can go to the pool. But as soon as desegregation happened, the communities are like, we will fucking explode that pool.
Right.
We won't enjoy, if we have to enjoy that with people who aren't white, no one can enjoy it. And they would literally destroy their own community things just because, oh, how dare someone of a different skin color deal with this? So I think that was such a good line. Like, you're spoiled children who'd rather break their own toys rather than someone else play with them. It's really good. Let's see. And so like Leonard says something like, hey, you have nothing to fear from this guy. Oh, why is that? Because I removed all the bullets from his gun earlier in the night.
Which is a lie, but when he checks it, it gives him the opening they need to
shoot.
Riddle him with bullets.
Yeah, because he takes that moment to look at his, like, really? And it's a total lie. He didn't touch his gun at all, but in that moment,
he was just a G about it. Like, this will work.
Fucking Francis, the gaslighting G. And that's then, what the G stands for.
Yeah. Bespoke. And so Mabel gets her money. The La Fontaines get a fake tape because he informs Mabel when they leave. His plan the whole time, the outfit was fake. He's the one that fabricated all of this. He planted all the outfit notes.
The narration he's been giving has been what he's been recording on the tapes. It's there's no bug or anything.
To the untrained eye, a suit is made of two pieces. It's great.
If you've got to the end of this recording, I just want to say, suck my dick.
The cops are coming. Fuck you and everyone you know.
They're right behind you. I even timed it out perfectly. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
No.
So he basically kind of helped her out. The boils are all dead. They were killed in the ambush.
Yeah, the La Fontaines admitted to killing them.
Francis is seemingly dead. The La Fontaines are about to be taken in by the FBI because now Mabel kind of goes in and gives them the real evidence she can use to incriminate them. So she's free of that. And now she has this big chunk of money, too, that they got from the La Fontaines. Mm-hmm. So she can actually go out and have her life that he wanted to have for her. He says, I started over before. It'll be easy the second time. She tries to get him to come with her. And he has this great line where he's like, you will not spend your best years taking care of my remaining few. Aww.
Yeah.
And he did this in a way like she's like, I could have done this without your help. And he says, like, I'm sure you could have. But this way, the blood is on my hands and not yours. And I thought that was so sweet. Like, aw, he's such a good man.
He tries so hard to be good, but it's tough. Because sometimes you got to kill a motherfucker.
It's true.
That's basically what happens next. I don't like doing this.
She says she wished she could have met his real daughter or real wife, maybe. I can't tell which one she's talking about.
Both, really, essentially.
And Mabel leaves. And then we get the last little bit of narration from Leonard. He says, finishing could be the hardest part. But as he's kind of like setting fire to his shop, he's kind of staging his like grand exit from this life in this town. You see, Francis is still fucking alive.
Shoots him in the arm.
Yeah, Francis shoots him in the arm.
And chases him around with a knife.
He kind of like, oh, don't hurt me. I'm just a cutter.
Yeah. I'm pipping the dog.
Oh, no, please don't hurt me. I'm just licking my butt right now. and this is when, so Leonard kind of gives his big spiel, like how he used to actually be in some sort of British mob. He reveals all the prison tattoos he has, but he wanted to get out of the lifestyle. He hid from them on the road, which is where he met his wife, Vera. They had their daughter, Lily. He learned a craft. He learned how to be a cutter, but then eventually those people caught up to him, and they're the ones that set fire to his shop and killed his family. And it is in this moment, he says, like, I put on these clothes to try to convince myself that I'm civilized. But then he stabs Francis with the shears.
Well, it was a cool moment, too, because he came to Chicago to escape the violence, the gangsters, all that stuff, and also to mourn his wife and daughter. But he's like, and the first fucking person I walk into was like one of the biggest leaders of the mob in the area.
Yeah.
And so he hates them. And that's why he's setting up the LaFontaines, because I kind of commiserated with the LaFontaines in this movie. But that's why he took them down, too. Like, he just hates the whole underworld.
Organized crime.
Yes.
Yeah, because that took everything from him.
Yes. It's a cool backstory.
And I do like how he stabs Francis and he gets on him and he looks like he's going to like let his inner rage out, but he like doesn't actually.
He stays composed.
He stays.
He's already dead.
He's already. Yeah, he dies. He just kind of doesn't look quite as uncivilized by stabbing him like that. And then as the flames get scarier, it's not perfect. You got to make your peace with that. How? You start again. And he just calmly walks out of his shop, which is on fire in the middle of the day. And roll credits. What a awesome movie.
Baller. I love it so much. My second viewing, I liked it. Doubled in the first, and I adored it the first time. So, Jeanette, thank you so much for suggesting that we watch this as a team. I hope all of you enjoyed it. I watched it I should have said this at the top, but it was on Prime Video. No way in hell you made it this far and didn't know where to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Or, that's true. Yeah. But, good point. Prime Video. Go check it out if you're in the States.
Big fan. Graham, great first outing. I know you're a big fan of the show. Can't wait to see your second feature.
He loves it. Jonathan McClain, I love your work on the Nakatomi Plaza. Indeed. But also, great work on this movie.
And as the FBI agent. That's all the time we've got for right now. Don't forget to email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings and become a member if you want to suggest movies like this for us to review, or join the Discord, or get extra bonus after hours coverage, or the poll movies. Any of that stuff is all on there.
We also have a new website.
Yeah.
Streamingthingspod.com.
.com.
Go check it out.
The only one I've ever heard of that ends in .com. Mm-hmm. It's special. Mm-hmm. It's really great. Mando Jin made the website for us, one of our incredible fellow patrons. Mm-hmm. Great job. And so grateful to her for that. So that's it. Kit Laser out.
And I'm Steve.
Well, I did it backwards. That's all the time we have for right now. My name's Chris.
And I'm Steve.
It's Kit. Thank you. This was Streaming Things. And that was a mess.
They have a I don't know what noise I made with.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.